as a human being, we're working with very complex machinery. This body is a kind of machine. And there's so much going on, both at the physical and the mental level, in each moment, that it's hard to sort out. And we've been using this sense of self as a reference point for creating some kind of order in amongst all of this complexity. And this is beginning to shift in a very positive and wholesome manner. We're actually working with the law of impermanence in an unusual way, because everyone here, to some degree or another, has begun to recognize the limitations of this perspective born of I, me, and mine. In a way, we've recognized that it's unreliable. We don't really get the information that we need when we're in an egocentric perspective. We've learned that its nature, as I mentioned earlier, is adversarial, and to varying degrees. It can be just a feeling, tone of discomfort that we're dealing with, or it can be an actual war that begins to rage within the sense of self. And we're constantly dealing as well with all kinds of what's called vicissitudes, the ever-changing circumstances of life. And the ego self is not equipped to deal with all of this without creating a tremendous amount of stress and, as well, toxicity. One of the processes that's occurring for us is that we are literally detoxifying. The stress that builds up, unbeknownst to us, when we try to understand what's going on around us and try to work through the limited perspective of I, me, and mine. I lost my sentence, but I'll pick up another one. Leads to a tremendous amount of tension. And again, this is not something that's conscious to us, for us. So as we begin to make the effort to cultivate mindfulness, all of this naturally and as well fortunately begins to shift. One way that it begins to shift is that we begin to cultivate a little bit more faith, that the practice is an alternative to the egocentric view. At first we get confused and we take every experience or every question back to try to process it through the ego. But over time, we begin to develop faith, again an intuitive factor, that allows for the sustained presence of mind that processes information in a different way. Mindfulness processes the same experience of life that we are living in any given moment, but in a different way. And there's an art to the experience of working in mindfulness. Sometimes I'm asked, and sometimes I have, really enough just to keep inclining the mind back into present time awareness, you know, in the face of what seems to be so much conflicting information. You know, I should be thinking about this and that. I should be solving the world's problems. I should be, you know, on and on. If we were able somehow just to tune in to the should mind, just to view it. I'd like to see my should mind, please. Would you kindly allow for me to access it so I can see everything that it expects of me? It would be overwhelming. So there are all these ways that the mind gets kind of pulled back into processing information that arises here within our practice through the ego rather than allowing it to be processed through mindfulness. The challenge is that through mindfulness there is no thinking. And that's difficult because there's sometimes a sense of frustration, you know, again, this can't be enough. So one of our themes for today is going to be allowing for it to be enough to cultivate mindfulness and to allow for the possibility that anything that arises will be processed through this effort that we're making. And it does take a lot of faith, and so I'm bringing that up as an important consideration. I learned this in a way that felt more complete just a couple of years ago, when at the end of a retreat with a Burmese meditation master, when somebody in the, I wanted to say, audience of yogis, I said, well, anybody make it? You know? And he said, I have no idea what you're referring to. Well, you know, did anybody get enlightened or at least reach the first stage of enlightenment? And he says, I don't think in this manner. What I can say to you, he said, is that there are a few people here that have begun to experience tranquility. And that tranquility is very much an aspect of developing faith. And he was addressing a group of yogis, many of whom Dharma teachers. And I felt that kind of calm, reserved, and balanced response that spoke to the development of qualities was very reinforcing for me of what really this is all about. That our job is to make the effort, as I mentioned last night, to engage the first function of mindfulness, to place our attention over and over and over again, yes. And then from here, there's a very subtle progression of a developmental process that occurs over an extremely long time. And this retreat is an important part of this process that we will be engaging over an extremely long time. Because the qualities that will be developed in our practice become that which we embody, rather than an ideological approach born of the sense that, you know, we should be good people, we should have faith, we should be compassionate, and therefore holding that as a value. Without the understanding of how to really awaken such qualities as mindfulness and equanimity and faith. The other frustrating thing for the ego is none of this can be measured. We can't take out a little, you know, handy measuring device and say, okay, now how much faith is there? And how much am I supposed to have, you know? Fortunately, we can't do that. We're working with that which is immeasurable. That's one of the reasons that I refer oftentimes to surrendering our attention. Because we are surrendering our attention to something that is unknown to the ego. The ego cannot comprehend this process. And its nature is to weigh and measure everything. And it is not possible to do so here. And it is true that, yes, sometimes we continue to be completely innocent of the development of the Dharma. In fact, it's said, to make a quantum leap here, that there are Buddhas that are not aware that there are Buddhas throughout infinite time. Because this is not born of self-consciousness. But we can begin to notice that distinction, as I was suggesting the first day, between the thinking mind and the intentional process. We can begin to notice, and as I've been saying, when it is possible to know the distinction, to incline the mind in the direction of mindfulness, that is possible. As well, that noticing capacity of mind is able to begin to discern other kinds of distinctions, because the nature of this intelligence, underlying intelligence of this process, is wisdom. And again, wisdom is an intuitive factor that knows the distinctions between things. It knows the distinction between the mind in the cultivation of mindfulness and the mind engaged in thinking. So when wisdom arises and knows the distinction, it's our role to honor that. It is our teacher, so to speak, to honor and to follow or to return accordingly. One of the definitions of mindfulness is participatory awareness, where it's not just as if we're sitting here and all is just happening for us. Even though what I said in a certain way, that yes, the development is just happening. But our participation is very, very important. And this is where I will refer to the art of practice. One of the things that we'll be working with today, yes, is that it's enough to be present. And as a result of this, the mind will begin to develop a little bit more acuity around such things as the balance of focus and energy. It's enough to be present in this moment and engage a subtle calibration of focus and energy. And one might not know exactly what that means in this moment, because in part we're learning. We're still listening through the mind that's trying to understand and grasp things. But what I have learned and understand and trust and have faith in is that these teachings are something that are kindred to this process of practice. And it'll become clear. Just like all the teachings of the Dhamma become clear eventually. These subtle applications for the art of practice will become clear. What's truly exciting is that we are realizing life and the process of life born of mindfulness and wisdom, free from the need to control. And I'll go a little bit into this evening. That which needs to control is slowly becoming more supportive and in alignment with the cultivation of the path. Not that it won't rear its chala, there's its ugly head and give us an opportunity to recognize the crisis of mind, which is where to place our attention. But over time it becomes extremely simple when we over and over again choose to return and take refuge in, again, the simplicity of our practice. And let our practice do the work and learn for ourselves what our role is in this participatory awareness that we engage along the way. Your practice. You are the guardian of the Dhamma. And today we will take good care of our practice by beginning to allow for the possibility that it is enough to be present and to effectively come more fully forward into the process in a participatory manner. I again will have a meeting for anybody who wishes during the first walking period for a number of different reasons. So if you'd like to discuss anything, clarify anything, you're welcome to come. And then as well, there will be that for 15, and I'm sorry, I'm not sure it's on the schedule during the walking period in the afternoon. And I'll also begin interviews this afternoon. And you'll see the schedule go up at the end of the lunch period. I have one announcement that Michelle asked me to make that I forgot yesterday, and that is that there is one yogi job that has not been signed in for, and if anybody feels that that's something that you could do either for a while, maybe not the entire retreat, but if you'd like to sign in for a few days, maybe there might be somebody else who could follow and sign in then for another segment of the retreat. Or if you feel that you might be interested, just check the board and see if that's something that you'd like to pick up for the retreat. But again, it's helpful at least once a day to check the board to see if there's any new information here. Any notes for you, for instance. I wanted to thank you for using the board in such a skillful manner and not using the board to write notes back and forth to one another. This retreat is falling into place with such integrity. I'm very touched by that. And also appreciate your honoring of noble silence. It's a great gift that we give ourselves and one another. So as I had mentioned last night, I'd like to emphasize again that yes, we are beginning to enter into the awareness of this body, this foundational awareness. And perhaps we don't yet have enough faith that one of our major mindfulness tasks is to make this transition and to engage a new level of information, information that is not mental, information that is not thinking, but the information that arises through the sensory experience that is occurring in this body. Sometimes at the beginning of a sit, it's just helpful to take stock of the body, as I've mentioned, to inquire into its general feeling tone. This is a role of guardianship, of nurturance. What is the general feeling tone of this body? Is it pleasant? Is it unpleasant? Or is it neutral? And it's not necessary to think about this in order to establish this awareness. But it might take a moment just to register the actual direct experience. is the general feeling tone of the body pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And in a certain way, this is incidental. There's no special message in one or the other. It's just a matter of being aware. And now just bringing your attention to the area of the head. And again, just that inquiry is the general feeling tone of this energy in this orb of the head pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. And open to the various parts of the head, the area of the brain, the eyes, the oral cavity, the nasal cavity, the tongue, through awareness, sometimes we find tension that begins to dissolve as a result of this quality of inquiry, allowing the tongue to relax, allowing the head to come slightly forward in order to sense the energy at the back of the head. And we're not trying to change anything. We're not grappling. We're not in a struggle in this moment with anything that we experience. We're simply interested. And now, if you'd just like to swallow for a moment to experience that mechanism. Or if it's not necessary, to be aware of that point where the oral cavity moves into the back of the throat. And bring your attention down through the neck. The internal experience, as well the surface, the back and the front. At any point, simply inquiring, is the feeling tone here in this part of the body pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Realizing that there can be a general tone, and yet, in different areas of the body, it can register differently. And now following down into the area of the neck where it connects with the upper back and the shoulders. And simply be in awareness with this part of the body. Realizing that what we're doing is inviting our body into awareness in a very gentle, kind and receptive manner. From the shoulders, down through the arms, including the hands. From the hands back up again, through the arms, to the shoulders, to the upper back. And then just inviting the general awareness of the spine. Beginning right below the neck, all the way down into the area of the hips. Again, we're not trying to accomplish anything, to heal anything, to stop along the way for any reason in particular, other than to just become aware. And now the area of the chest. That expanse below the neck that extends down into the area of the ribcage, to the right and left, including the breastbone. Is the general feeling tone in this area of the body pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? And beneath the ribcage into the belly. And down into the hips and groin. And extending out from the hips into the legs, the thighs, the inner and outer sensations present in the area of the thighs and the knees. The lower legs, ankle and feet, allowing awareness to flow through this area of the body. And when your attention has reached the point of connection between your legs or your feet, depending on whether you're sitting in a chair or in a cushion, feel that sense of contact and just open again to the shift in the energy present. that we have invited this body into awareness. Again, we're not accomplishing anything. We're simply interested. As a result of this sweeping through the body, inviting it into awareness, you may have already detected the movements of breathing. One might say that this physical body contains the breath body. I once heard that the Buddha lived within the breath body. The awareness of this process within this jewel of this body. So allowing one's attention to be drawn by these movements, these organic movements that are occurring in each moment of life. And using the mind skillfully to just make a note corresponding to a movement that you may be detecting, and whether or not this movement is a part of an inhalation. The threefold part of the beginning, the middle, or end of an inhalation or an exhalation. It can be enough just to say breathing in or breathing out. Devoid of the effort to breathe, but simply the awareness of the process itself. So that we're bringing our effort to this awareness. Because the body is doing the work of breathing. And the mind is free to experience it directly. And there may be a carryover of that sense of sweeping, that in awareness. And with this applied attention, and when sustained, it's as if there is a sweeping motion that is picking up on all the subtle sensations that arise and fall away with each inhalation and exhalation. And bringing to this process the quality of patience. That matures into perseverance, that allows one to remain present and interested throughout the beginning, the middle, and the end of each movement of breathing within this body. Distraction is just the opportunity to return and begin again. So continuing with this process, awareness of this body sitting here, breathing this breath, with interest, with patience, with perseverance. Born of the possibility that yes, it's enough to be present in this moment. Returning. Distraction is just the opportunity to return. Occasionally, it may be helpful to inquire, is the general experience in this moment pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral? Again, not to change anything, but knowing that by being conscious of the possibilities, that it protects the mind from the conditioning that arises with each. returning. A note on walking meditation. One of the things that's very helpful to develop more concentration during walking meditation is to check in the beginning whether or not your eyes are a part of your practice or they're separate, meaning that sometimes during walking meditation we walk kind of looking around and it's not a fully integrated experience. And so sometimes we just take a moment to acknowledge that our eyes are sort of the forerunners into this world. You know, we see our way. But meanwhile, there's also a way of softening our eyes as in a manner that contributes to inner seeing, seeing our way through mindfulness. So if you find yourself distracted during walking meditation and kind of looking around, just stop for a moment and realize that you haven't yet integrated your head with the rest of your body. And just see what it might be like then to just adjust your visual awareness just enough so that you can see, but in a way that is supportive of the cultivation of mindfulness while walking. And the cultivation of mindfulness while walking is something that we do by being aware of the physical movements and the play of sensations in the body. In particular, you may wish to experiment in the feet. Because by being able to rest our attention in one area of the body, then again, the force of mindfulness begins to build up and open to more detail. We're still learning our way in the practice. Again, I'll be meeting with people and anyone who has arrived late or anyone who would like to clarify something as a way to feel that you're better supported in your practice. And please don't be shy. Or if you are, come anyway.